This episode of Zero to Travel is brought to you by the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder with 7 drive modes. The Pathfinder's available intelligent 4x4 is built for even the most epic journeys. Learn more at NissanUSA.com.
Getting on that plane with that one-way ticket in our hands was like, wow, this is real. This is real.
Oh, yes. What a feeling getting on a plane with a one-way ticket or an indefinite trip where you don't know when or if it'll end. That feeling of adventure of what lies ahead. And that was a clip from my lovely conversation that you'll hear today with my new friend, Christina. She survived stage 4 cancer. She was told she had a 10% chance of survival. And we talk about how that experience affected her life and her decision to travel. We talk about what it's like living full-time in South America and the thought process behind it. And one of the other things that comes up in our conversation is this idea of letting life goals determine your destinations rather than picking a destination first and kind of planning around that. This is another way to approach your travels and your life on the road. And when you're traveling full-time, it is a lot different from vacation time. It's traveling as a lifestyle, and there are challenges that come with that. We don't shy away from those challenges in this conversation. We talk about how travel can change your relationship with the people that you travel with, for better or worse, maybe in some cases. And we get her biggest piece of advice for getting paid to travel without having a big following on Instagram. I know that's something that some people want to do. And staying within budget when multiple people are involved with your travels. If it's not just a solo trip and you've got, in Christina's case, a family of 4, or maybe a spouse or a partner you're working with and you're sharing your budget, how do you keep that budget down? What are the advantages and disadvantages? And so much more. Plus, I'll share some thoughts around the downside of setting goals and Instabond while you're traveling, how that relates to everything that's going on in the world, and plenty of other goodies packed into this episode. Are you ready to get into it? Let's do it. Buckle up, strap in. Thanks for being here, and welcome to the Zero to Travel podcast, my friend.
You're listening to the Zero to Travel podcast, where we explore exciting travel-based work, lifestyle, and business opportunities, helping you to achieve your wildest travel dreams. And now your host, world wanderer and travel junkie, Jason Moore.
Hey, it's Jason with ZeroToTravel.com. Welcome to the show. Thanks for hanging out, letting me bring a little travel into your ears today. This is the show to help you travel the world on your terms, to fill your life with as much travel as you desire, no matter what your situation or experience. And welcome to this action-packed episode. Got a fun one, as you heard at the top. And I wanted to start off with an incredible exercise I did the other day that I think you might enjoy doing as well. I've had so much fun putting this together. And this came up as a question from one of our premium passport members. If you go to zerototravel.com/premium, you can learn more about that. It's essentially a private Zero to Travel podcast feed and community where you can get access to all of the archives, 300 plus Zero to Travel podcast episodes, and a ton more. Anyway, Kristen, got to give her a shout out because she asked me, hey, Jason, what is your ideal one-year trip with your family? I'd love to hear what plans you have in store post-COVID and what you're dreaming up. And this was awesome because this is something I've thought about a lot in my head, but I never actually put down to paper. And that's why I'm bringing this up, because if you have been thinking about some travels in your head or some type of longer term trip, maybe even full time, have you put it down on paper yet? Have you really sketched it out? Because just going through this exercise really gave me some clarity on what it is that I would do when I take a year off and travel the world with my family, because it's definitely something I want to do again. It's been going around in my head, but I haven't actually put pen to paper or keyboard to screen, however that works, and sketched it out. I'll share with you what that year looked like for me, because I think it came together pretty well. For me, 1 year on the road with my family would look something like this. 6 weeks back in my home country in the USA, visiting family because I live overseas, and I need some hang time with them and in my home country. And part of that would be extending my stay back in the US and road tripping. One of my all-time favorite travel things to do is road trip around the US. And maybe that's because I spent a decade plus doing it. And it's been so long since I've traveled in that way extensively around the States. I thought 3.5 months in an RV, you know, family could come out and meet up. I could spend time in my home country, meet some friends along the way, and just chill. So right there, I've already racked up 5 months. Anyway, I'd spent a month back in Norway recuperating and visiting family here, then hit the road again for another 6 months volunteering and home exchanging around Europe, specifically Eastern Europe and a bit of Western Europe as well. So it's definitely slow travel with some of the sharing economy stuff, volunteer type stuff mixed in to help offset the costs and give us a chance to have all of these amazing experiences together. And a year goes too fast. Just like that, a year is over. So I want to say thanks to Kristen for asking me that question and giving me an opportunity to put this in writing. Thanks for the inspiration, Kristen. If you are listening and you haven't put pen to paper yet for a journey you might want to take, and maybe that includes some of your life goals and different things, and take some time today, take 15 minutes to do that. Sit down with a cup of coffee or tea or whatever makes you feel cozy and write out a little itinerary for yourself. I'm not saying this would be exactly it and this might change, but this is how I'm feeling right now. And this felt really good to me and it was so fun and it definitely made things more real. And it got me more excited about planning this year on the road with my family when COVID breaks and we can find the right time to do this. So I'm stoked. And I brought this one up specifically because I'm talking to my new friend Christina today, who is out on the road with her family, living in South America, traveling around, living nomadically as a family, and they haven't looked back. And you can hear what that experience is like. You heard at the top all the things we're going to cover and plenty more going on in this conversation. And I do encourage you to stick around. After the interview, I'm going to talk about some of the downside of setting goals, some things to be cautious of when you're goal setting, whether it's travel or life goals, plus what may be a silver lining coming out of this pandemic related to something I've noticed while traveling. So we'll talk about all that after the interview segment. Now, let's slip and slide into this interview, and I will see you on the other side, my friend. You have two kids, right?
Yeah, two boys. Yeah, but they're older. One that's 15 and 12. So, but they're fun ages. So, I mean, every stage is different, you know, little kids and, you know, almost one, you know, almost two teenagers, but we've enjoyed this stage. It's a fun stage because they can do anything, you know, we can take them and do anything now. And so we don't have any limitations when we travel, which we love.
Yeah. Yeah. That's super nice. Well, if you've traveled with small kids, you already know, yeah. I don't need to tell you. It's a totally different travel experience and not always the easiest. In fact, well, I mean, obviously we're in a pandemic, so we're not traveling a lot anyway or at all. Even if we weren't, I wouldn't be traveling as much just because I was telling somebody this the other day, or maybe I was talking about it on the podcast. It's just, it's still fun, but it's a lot more challenging and you can't just kind of, it's different.
Yeah, oh, for sure. Especially with younger kids. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're limited and sometimes the places you go, but also how much you can realistically pack in a day, you know?
And exactly. You can do one thing. You can do one thing.
You got to set your expectations down a little bit.
And I mean, one thing, even if you're home and conditions are perfect and you're just going like 15 minutes away to a playground, that's one thing. That's the one thing you can do the whole day.
Exactly. Yeah. But I mean, it's still fun. And I mean, it's so fun to see the world through like their eyes, you know, and especially when they're younger, I just remember just everything was just so magical, you know, kind of loses that a little bit when they get older. Especially if they travel a lot, they kind of get a little bit jaded, not jaded, it's not the right word, but, it's just not as, you know, like our kids make this comment a lot. They say, well, the thing is that we've been to so many amazing places that, you know, it's not that special. Yeah. I'm just like, do you hear yourself?
Yeah. Well, yeah, maybe when you, yeah, it's you learn to maybe not try to compare in that way, depending on who you are when you get older sometimes, you know, you figure that out. Yeah, that's probably a natural reaction, you know, for, I mean, if you're on the road for a while, that's kind of how you do get a little spoiled in that way, right? You're like, look, amazing thing number 52, amazing thing number 126. And you're just like, wow, this is, but I think that's where like beginner's mind or just like this idea of the freshness of each day. I mean, that's one of the draws of living in that way, right? Living on the road. It's just kind of like every day is sort of its own. Every day can be an adventure at home as well. And that's a mindset. But I should give you a little intro here since we're recording, because adventure is a word that you guys have as part of your work, your blog and your website, adventuretogether.com. I am on with Christina McAvoy, and I want to say welcome to the Zero to Travel podcast, my friend.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
You didn't know we were doing the thing just there,
no,
did you?
No, I did. Yeah, I did.
Oh, you did. Okay, good. Good. I mean, you're full-time in South America right now. I mean, at least that's what you told me when we kind of worked out this interview, and it's going on 2 years next month. Why South America as opposed to like another region?
Well, that's a good question. So a couple of factors. When we were kind of planning our full-time travels, one, we knew we wanted to slow travel. We didn't have the goal to try to hit so many different countries in 2 years or so. Our goal was to really slow travel in a region. And really get to know, you know, a place, you know, different countries. We didn't want to just like make this checklist and just say, okay, you know, we spent 5 days in this country and let's move on. Like that wasn't our goal. We really wanted to be able to dive deeper. So we knew for sure we wanted to slow travel. Then it was just a matter of which region of the world. And we had a goal of learning Spanish and our kids particularly learning Spanish. And so it made sense to us to travel in Central and South America for that reason. But also another draw to Central and South America was the fact that a lot of countries in this region of the world kind of get a bad reputation. There's a lot of stigma center, you know, focused on, you know, they're drug infested, they're violent, they're corrupt, you know, they're not safe, you know. And we knew just talking to, you know, well-traveled travelers that wasn't the case. And we wanted to find that out for ourselves. And we also really wanted to show people that South America can be very family friendly because it's not really a region of the world that you see a lot of families traveling to, other than a couple of key destinations like Machu Picchu, Galapagos. But outside of, you know, a handful of places, you don't see a lot of families saying, hey, let's pack up our bags and go to Colombia or Bolivia or even Ecuador, you know. And so we really kind of wanted to, we really love to travel off the beaten path anyways. And so that was a draw too, was let's wander through South America for a couple years and hopefully prove to people that it is indeed safe. It is indeed family friendly. And such an incredible diverse continent. I mean, it's just amazing.
I love it.
So we made the right choice.
So before this, were you guys living like sort of the traditional lifestyle back in the States or what were you guys doing?
Yeah. So we were living in Boise, Idaho, actually. We were living there for 11 years. My husband is actually a physical therapist by trade.
Where did you guys meet?
We met in college. We met in college in Utah State University. So we were big, you know, outdoors, you know, lovers back then. And so that kind of drew us to each other. And the outdoors are obviously plentiful in Utah. So yeah, we met, you know, 25, I don't know, years ago. We've been married for 20. And
congratulations. That's a big number.
Yes, it is. And then we were living in Idaho, like I mentioned, Boise for 11 years. My husband was a physical therapist. I was working kind of part-time in a financial advising office, but I was also running our blog and our social media. And we kind of had this dream of traveling full-time for many years, like before we even had kids. But just for whatever reason, life just didn't work that way. You know, I hadn't pulled the trigger, you know, went through a lot of challenges. I had cancer. My husband was going to, you know, through grad school and just trying to get to develop his career. So finally, about 6 years ago, almost 6 years ago, we kind of really started talking about this dream again. And we're like, you know, it would be really cool to be able to travel with our kids full time. And we talked about doing this, but maybe we should actually do it, you know? So we just kind of started working towards it and researching how we could do it, how we could work remotely, where we would go. Of course, it was a lot of planning, and it took a big leap of faith, to be honest. Just because we were living, you know, traditionally, and we did travel a lot, but not like this, obviously. Yeah. So it was a huge lifestyle
change.
This
isn't traveling. This is living on the road.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's not a vacation.
It's a new life.
It's a new lifestyle. Yeah.
It's not you leave a life and then come back to like sort of a set up life in a particular place. This is your lifestyle now, right?
We don't have a home. Yep. We don't have a home base. Like our Airbnbs are our homes, and we make them our home. And it's been, you know, a challenging experience, but obviously a very rewarding, enriching experience that we wouldn't trade for anything.
You kind of mentioned in passing that you had cancer. I would like to talk about that if that's okay.
Sure.
Just talk about that experience. Like, did that change anything about your outlook on life? How many years ago was that? Or
Yeah. So I was diagnosed with stage 4 melanoma, actually metastatic melanoma, about 10 years ago, a little more than 10 years ago. So that was a pretty big deal. My kids were 2 and 5 at the time, so close to your kids' ages. And I mean, I was 32. So imagine being 32, 2 small kids, and you're told you have a 10% chance of survival. It was a really rough time in our lives. But, you know, I just always kind of just had this gut feeling, call it, that I wasn't done. I just thought, you know what? I just don't think that this is it for me. I just feel like I have more life to live. And so obviously having 2 young kids really, really gives you that strong drive to live. But I just didn't feel done. And so I was lucky. I was one of the lucky ones, obviously, that the treatments worked for me. And here I am 10 years later. I actually celebrated my 10-year anniversary in August of this year. So that was a big deal.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So that definitely, of course, going through any life-threatening illness or something or an event like that kind of really changes your mindset. I always kind of had lived life to the fullest. I would say I was one of those people that kind of did that pretty well before cancer, but definitely, going through that kind of like next level, you know, and I think it changed our perspective in a lot of ways. And in one of those ways was that we'd had this dream, like I'd mentioned, to travel full time, even long before kids. But after going through cancer, I was like, you know, I don't want to wait until we're retired. I don't want to wait until our kids are grown. Like, I want to do this with our kids. And I just knew that we needed to grab the chance when we could. And so when I hit my 5-year anniversary, that was when we really started talking about it seriously, because it was like, okay, I made it 5 years. I'm not having to go to my oncologist every 3-6 months anymore. And so it seemed like it was a more realistic plan or idea. And that was kind of when things kind of started rolling, the ball started rolling and the wheels started turning. And before we knew it, we were selling our house and putting all of our stuff in storage and taking off.
So you did sell your house and kind of got rid of a lot of things. Yeah,
we did. We didn't sell everything because that didn't seem like a very practical thing to do. Yeah. You know,
yeah, you're going to need a coffee maker again one day, for example.
Yeah, exactly. We got rid of stuff that we knew we probably wouldn't use or that our kids would outgrow. But I mean, we kept most of our stuff in storage and it was scary. I'll be honest. It was a big leap of faith because we were kind of at that point, we were working remotely. But we weren't sure, like, financially, okay, is this gonna work out long term financially, or are we gonna get 6 months down the road and run out of money, or you know? So that was probably the biggest risk that we made. But I mean, definitely, like, getting on that plane with that one way ticket in our hands was like, wow, this is real. This is real.
Yeah.
But you know what? We wanted it so bad. It was such a big dream of ours that we were like so motivated to make it happen and make it work. And so, it's amazing what you can do when you're that motivated and you have that much drive. You know, that pressure can be a lot, but it really can, when you have your back against the wall, it's amazing what you can do. So we just are so excited that we've like made it 2 years almost and still going. You know, our course has changed a lot this year with the pandemic, but we've somehow continued and made it work. So it's been amazing.
In some ways it's probably good you guys left before the pandemic, because then you might have put it off even further. This episode of Zero to Travel is presented by the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder. From muddy jungle paths and snowy trails to rolling sand dunes, the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder has the capability to take you to some of the most epic destinations on Earth. We're excited to partner with Nissan because our listeners know we love to celebrate the joy of exploring the world and finding the best off the beaten path destinations to visit. And there's no better vehicle for that than the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder. With 7 drive modes, the Pathfinder's available intelligent 4x4 is built for even the most epic journeys, and it even has the best towing capacity in its class, up to 6,000 pounds, so you can bring the fun with you. But Nissan also knows that it's not just about where you go. In a Pathfinder, the real fun comes from getting there, and that's something we love celebrating here on the Zero to Travel podcast. We believe that life is about finding that joy within the journey itself, and that's why we're thrilled to partner with Nissan to celebrate adventurers everywhere. So thanks again to Nissan for sponsoring this episode of Zero to Travel and for the reminder to chase bigger, better, more exciting adventures and enjoy the ride along the way. Learn more at NissanUSA.com.
I am going to ask you some of your best advice on budget travel and money and stuff, but we're going to wait on that a little bit. I still want to talk about this decision that you made, because I'm wondering what the conversations with the kids look like. Did you have to do a lot of selling with them? Or because you guys wanted to do it didn't necessarily mean the other humans in the house wanted to, or maybe they did, I don't know.
Yeah, actually they were game. They're both pretty adventurous. One of them is more so than the other naturally, just by personality. But because we had talked about it so openly with them for years, this wasn't something that we just sprung on them one day, like, hey guys, guess what we're going to do? We're going to sell the house and go travel. Yeah, it wasn't like that. I mean, we had been talking about it with them for 2-3 years before we even pulled the trigger, and getting them excited and showing them, the map and showing them the different places that we would love to go and showing them photos and videos. I mean, we love watching like Planet Earth kind of videos. So they're naturally inquisitive and curious about the world and the planet. And we traveled quite a bit, like I mentioned before. So it wasn't like they didn't kind of have the travel bug in them. But of course that was, vacation time, not traveling as a lifestyle. So very different, but they were 100% on board, leading up to it. As we got closer to leaving, there was a few hard moments, leaving family, saying goodbye to our dog. Even if it was temporary, I mean, there was definitely some tears, but once we got, once we got to our first destination, which was Guatemala, there was a level of excitement, like, wow, this is going to be cool.
We're doing this together. Yeah. I mean, cause I think back to those ages. I mean, I would have been, and I love travel and I even loved it then, but I didn't do a lot of overseas travel, really none at that age. But the idea of leaving your friends as a teenager would have been a really big deal for me. Was that?
Yeah. Actually that wasn't as hard for both of our kids. At the time our oldest was 13 and our youngest was 10. And so we were kind of like, dude, if we can skip middle school, That would be awesome. So, because middle school is just, you know, it's...
So you're kind of like, that's kind of the plan to stay on the road, yeah, like all through middle school, and then they go back for high school? Is that...
Yeah. Well, our oldest is in, he's a sophomore right now. So we knew he would miss the first 2 years of high school, and he missed the last year of middle school. For our youngest, we knew that he would miss sixth and seventh grade, and we were so happy about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like what are maybe some of the better lessons to learn? I think back, it's just a different experience, you know, and you can't trade in your experience for another one, but so you're giving them a different type of unique experience through the travel. What have been the biggest challenges? Like, I know when you gain a lot when you travel like this, of course, and as far as like experiencing other cultures and food and all the stuff that I don't need to rehash, because if you're listening to this, you're a traveler and you know, or you want to, and you know what you're excited about. But, you know, anytime you travel nomadically like this, it's, of course, you're giving things up too. You can't have, like, you can't live one lifestyle. You can't live multiple lifestyles at the same time, right? Like, so there are certain perks, I would say, to like being settled down in one place too. For example, like maybe steady community or connections and things like that. So, I mean, what have been some of the toughest parts about the new lifestyle? I guess new, I'm using in air quotes because it's been a couple years now, but.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a good question. So, you know, I think one of the challenges is just, it's every day. And you mentioned this earlier, and we are living outside of our comfort zone pretty much every day. You know, the newness is an exciting thing, but that comes with a challenge too. You know, we move, you know, so we stay in a country, well, before the pandemic, we were staying in one country for 1 to 3 months. And now with the pandemic, we've only been in two countries this year. We were in Chile for 5 months when the pandemic hit, and we got kind of stuck down there in Patagonia. And then we've been in Ecuador.
A terrible place to be stuck.
I know, right? Well, you know, it was and it wasn't. It wasn't obviously for good reasons, but actually it really kind of sucked because all the national parks were closed. So we never made it to iconic Torres del Paine. You know, we got to see it from a distance. We got to see it from an airplane. We got to see it from the entrance of the park, but we never got to step foot in the park. So it really kind of sucked for that point. But then we've been in Ecuador for 4 months. So, our travel has changed even more this year, but, you know, I think, you know, moving around even every 1 to 3 months, you know, you kind of have to adapt so quickly and like find that sense of community. Like you said, you know, for us, that was one of the reasons why we wanted slow travel was if we can make some friends in each place and give our kids some kind of community, even though it's totally different. That was important to us, but it's a challenge to find that community when you're only going to be there for, you know, 1 to 3 months, and also the language barrier. So, you know, I mentioned that one of our goals was to learn Spanish, and we thought when we left, we were so naive. We're like, oh, we'll be fluent in like 6 months.
With all that extra time you have between homeschooling and running a business and...
You nailed it. You nailed it. That's exactly... That was, I think, one of the things that we did not have a realistic, you know, mindset around. I think everything else we were pretty realistic about, but that was one thing that we thought, oh, for sure, we'll be fluent in 6 to 9 months, and we're still not fluent. We can get by. We can definitely get by, but our grammar is not that great, our Spanish. And the problem is that every country, too, it's a little different, you know. Some people have, you know, speak faster. Some have, you know, a lot of different slang words, or they cut off a lot of words. And we found it really hard to understand Chileans, especially. And then you add the masks now. It's like it just makes it even more challenging. So that's been one of those challenges that we thought would be easier at this point. But it's still not what we had hoped it to be. We thought we'd be fluent, you know, staying in one region of the world. So that has been a big challenge. And like I mentioned, Just getting to a place, getting to know the area, you know, figuring out the bus system, figuring out how we're going to get around, figuring out where the closest grocery store is, the closest bank. I mean, all the things that you would normally have to do anyways when you travel, but we have to do those more frequently, you know?
That's always been, that's just one of the things that comes with this, right? That's part of the process. Is you get to a new place, you got to kind of figure it out. And frankly, I mean, that's part of the fun, right? The learning of the local system and getting to know a new town and all that stuff. But also, like you said, it can be tiring when it's just much easier when you show up in your town. You're like, all right, I'm gonna walk over there and get that thing because I know they make delicious burritos, and I'm gonna go over here and. It's just a different experience for everybody, but you learn so much, and I think you learn to become super resourceful as well. I'm wondering, as a parent, just putting my parenting hat on, of course, my kids are small now, so they don't really play outside by themselves yet, of course. Your kids play outside by themselves, and I imagine my kids being teenagers, like it would be a lot easier to kind of let them out the door to go do whatever versus like, all right, now I have this element of I just showed up in a new country, in a new town, don't know anything. Oh, you guys want to run down and get a snack? Okay. Like, how do you handle that as a parent?
Yeah, that's actually a really good question. So when we first started traveling long-term like this, we were in Guatemala. And, you know, of course, Guatemala can get kind of a bad rep. And so we were kind of like, everybody was like, oh, make sure that you, you know, stay with your kids all the time. And we're like, duh, obviously, you know. And I remember, like, you know, after the first month there, we kind of got more comfortable. We kind of realized, okay, we're actually a lot safer than we thought we were, or thought we would be, I guess. And we got to a point where we're like, you know, we felt comfortable sending our kids down the street to the panaderia to get bread, you know, or my husband and I were like, maybe we can take a date night and like, you know, go get some food for dinner and not and leave the kids at home. Whereas like before we left, we weren't sure if we would do that, you know, and not because we didn't feel like our kids would be safe. It was more the fact that what if something happens to us while we're out, you know, and our kids are back in our apartment in our house and we're in this foreign country, you know, that was a real fear of mine, especially not my husband so much. And it was like, you know, a month in that we realized maybe we'll be okay. Maybe our kids will be okay walking down the street and, you know, obviously not at nighttime, but we actually learned that pretty quickly. And so when we get to a new place and we learn the area and we kind of figure out where everything is, we definitely feel, you know, because we always choose places strategically, and we choose places that are, you know, safe. And so, you know, after we've kind of gotten our bearings there, we feel 100% fine with our kids, you know, walking down the streets to get something. Or even yesterday, we're in Ecuador on the coast, and we're like 100 meters from the beach. And our kids are very strong swimmers. We learned how to surf about a year ago in El Salvador. And we've had some practice the last 3 weeks. And so they're like, we're going to go out and surf. And I'm like, okay, you know, and I felt fine letting them go out and surf, you know?
Yeah. Of course, there are kids all over there going out and surfing, right? They're just another couple of kids. But I know this is like fear-based thinking, but sometimes in parenting world, for those of you that aren't parents, you know, sometimes you think you're going to be, you know, I feel like I'm the one that like will let my kids go, but of course there's an element of fear around anything happening to them, of course. And that just comes out of love, you know. I was just curious totally. How you what town are you in?
We are in well, you probably wouldn't know it, but it's near Montanita. I don't know if you've heard of Montanita, Ecuador. Yes. It's a big surf town.
Yep. Yeah, my friends lived there for a while.
Oh, really? Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're about 15 minutes north of Montanita, right on the beach.
It's like supposedly an awesome place.
It is. We love it. We've loved it. We have another 2 weeks here. We've been here for 3 weeks tomorrow, actually. So we've been here for 3 weeks already. And we picked it because we wanted to surf and we wanted to spend some time on the coast. And it was a perfect place to kind of finish our time in Ecuador. We've been here for 4 months. So
it's cool. I'm just thinking because the homeschooling thing, and I've talked about that in the podcast. We don't need to get into that. If you want more advice on that, I've done you could search it. I've done quite a few interviews around that. This time, especially where a lot of kids are online for school anyway, it's like,
yeah,
I mean, it's really not any different than being at home now.
Yeah, exactly.
That's just by happenstance, of course, but
yeah,
it just goes to show, well, like, you know, if you're listening to this and you're a parent going through that, well, like, you know, they can attend school online from anywhere. So it's just another thing to think about. I had a question about some of the business stuff, because it's a decision to make a living out of your travel as opposed to something else, right? And I don't know if your husband's doing something else, if you guys both work on this together, you know, like capturing travel, or like, it's all sort of integrated. So it's a chore as well. Like, I'm just wondering, yeah, on the business side, yeah, what are your thoughts? Are like, how did you decide to do what you're doing and to make, you know, a blog and a business around travel, as opposed to, hey, I'm going to have an e-commerce store selling, you know, blah, blah widget, and then I'm going to be done for the day, and then I'm going to go, you know, surfing and enjoy my experience here.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, we started our blog, you know, long before we started traveling full time. So that was kind of up and running. And then same with our social media. We'd actually had success with that first before our blog kind of took off. Like, we were getting, you know, some really awesome sponsorships with brands and tours and boards. We were working with a lot of different, you know, companies and destinations before we traveled full time. So we knew that was something we wanted to do. But I will say that wasn't our goal when we traveled full time. Our goal wasn't to make that part of the business like our full time gig. We wanted to be able to still choose where we could travel. We didn't want to be traveling dictated by where the companies were going to send us. You know, it was like, we still want to travel on our agenda. And, you know, if there's opportunities in that area, then yeah, cool. But it wasn't ever our goal to be like, oh, we're going to, you know, fly here because we have some gig. Like, that wasn't ever our goal. It was always just, let's stick to our agenda and our plan, and let's kind of work it in, you know, if we can, you know. So that was one of the goals. But yeah, creating content when it's your job, like as a travel content creator, it can definitely be tricky to balance that, because you still want to be able to enjoy the places and not feel like you have to constantly be shooting. And I think for me, at least, as I'm kind of the main content creator, photographer, I mean, we definitely are a team. My husband, you know, obviously helps too, but I would say I do most of the photography part of it. And then he kind of does like the GoPro, the drone. So, you know, we kind of, you know, tag team there. And then our kids help too. My oldest son, he like edits the photos, or edits the videos, sorry. Edits the videos, puts those together. So we do kind of work together as a family to do it. But you know, it is a balance, and it's something that we have to consciously like think about, like, okay, let's shoot some photos and then let's be done, you know, or let's kind of plan ahead the kind of photos we want to get at this destination. And actually helps to kind of plan ahead. Like, we know we want to get this shot when we're in the Galapagos or whatever, you know, that helps us kind of be able to balance and turn it off.
Yeah, you don't have to like jam up the whole day trying to get one thing that you don't know what you're going for. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's a balance for sure. But then I look back at all of the photos and videos that we have, and it's just amazing. It's amazing to capture those memories in that way. And, you know, I kind of joke about this, but like, our biggest challenge when we get a home again someday is going to be figuring out what pictures do we print and put on the wall. There's so many.
Tough life, yeah. Right?
Right. No problem. But I mean, seriously, we feel so blessed that we have captured so many memories and really, like, during a time where our boys are growing up so fast, like, you know, I'm editing this video right now that we did like a year ago in Colombia. And that was like, you know, about 15 months ago, we were in Colombia. And I'm just like amazed at how much they've grown in 15 months. And I'm just like, wow. I mean, their voices have changed and their faces look different. Like, it's just so cool to have that kind of you know, content to be able to, I mean, to me, that's like our most priceless possession, you know? If anything happened to our hard drive, I don't know what I'd do, you know, like that's the most important thing that we own. And for our kids to be able to have those memories someday when they're grown and they can show their own families, like my family traveled, we traveled all over South America for 2+ years. And
yeah.
I mean, that's just priceless.
I mean, are you ever going to regret that? Right.
It's no, like, never.
I mean, how, outside of the physical changes, how, what are the biggest changes you've seen in them as individuals that you could maybe correlate to travel? And on that note, maybe the, any changes in terms of like the family dynamic or your relationship with your family?
Here's a quick powerful exercise. If you think about one or two of your big goals, and then you fast forward a few months from now, what can you do right now to give yourself the best chance of succeeding? If one of those goals for you is learning a new language or even just a little bit of a language to enhance your next trip, you should absolutely get Babbel. They have quick 10-minute lessons handcrafted by over 200 language experts. You can actually start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. It's designed by real people for real conversations, exactly what you want as a traveler. I just downloaded it and went into the Norwegian course area thinking, oh, I've got this. Immediately made a bunch of grammar mistakes that they corrected. And I was like, oh, I've been doing this wrong. So I'm already leveling up and learning. And you can get Babbel now. Here's a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/zerototravel. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/zerototravel, spelled BABBEL.com/zerototravel. Rules and restrictions may apply. Thank you to Babbel for supporting today's show. Hey, Jason here. Did you know we have a free weekly newsletter over at zerototravel.com/newsletter? I put my heart and soul into this newsletter and love keeping in touch with listeners off the podcast. That's where you can find out about all of the latest and greatest events, trips we're planning, and of course, you're going to get money-saving travel tips, destination advice, all kinds of stuff to provide value and help you add more travel into your life. So why not sign up? Again, totally free, no cost at all. zerototravel.com/newsletter. Excited to welcome you into that community. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, so I would say family-wise, absolutely the time that we have together is really bonded us together, closer. A lot of people ask us, do you guys ever get sick of each other? Because we're with each other all the time, you know? And honestly, I would say not really. I mean, you know, we have moments, of course, you know, but, you know, we know kind of, you know, we'll go and have some alone time. You know, my oldest son will go read in his room for a couple hours, or I'll take a walk, you know, by myself, or, you know, something like that. Like we know when we need to kind of have some time or have a break, but for the most part, you know, we really work well together. Our boys don't fight ever, which is amazing. You know, because when they were younger, they fought all the time. When we were back at home, they fought all the time, and they've kind of learned that they have to get along because there's nobody else, you know? So that's been a really good change to see in their relationship as they've gotten closer. And I think some of that is because of their ages, but I think a lot of it is more the circumstances of our lifestyle and always being together. But I would say for them, one of the biggest changes that I've noticed in them is just how resilient they are. And I knew that about kids, but this experience has proven that even more. They're very resilient. They adapt very easily. And that's really cool to be able to see that. Like, I think in some ways they're more adaptable than even I am, you know, their expectations are lower. They just go with the flow, you know, they don't worry so much as I do, you know, which is part of that is just comes from the territory of being a parent and an adult, but still, that's been really cool to see. And I think the thing that has been the most gratifying as a parent in watching them, is how, much this experience has opened their eyes to really seeing what we have taken for granted in the United States. You know, we've obviously been in a developing world for 2 years, and, you know, being and seeing those cultures firsthand and seeing how people live, you know, how most of the countries down here live, or most people in the countries down here live, it's a whole different experience than what we have in the States. And that was one of our biggest, you know, driving factors in traveling full time and choosing a region of the world that wasn't like the United States. We wanted our boys to be able to experience that and to see how much we really truly are blessed with the United States. And so seeing that and hearing them talk about that, you know, and seeing, you know, and having those experiences together, you know, and seeing how people live in poverty, you know, most people live in poverty, and seeing how they live day to day, but yet they're happy, you know, they're happy with less. Seeing kids kick an old soccer ball around, and that's like their one toy that they have, you know, and just seeing the joy in their faces. For us to make that connection as a family together has been by far the most rewarding experience. And that's what we wanted out of this whole thing, was we wanted to go home and have that change of perspective, and our kids to go back to school with friends, and to see the challenges that maybe kids there, you know, are complaining about, and to just be like, you have no idea. You have no idea how blessed you are, and how lucky you are to, you know, your biggest stress is what you're going to wear to school that day. You know, like, you know, the kids down in South America, you know, I mean, it's survival for them, you know? So that for us has been really cool to hear their experiences firsthand and their thoughts on seeing the world from that perspective. You know, it's changed them, it's changed us, and it's different than like going on vacation and experiencing it. We live surrounded by it, you know? And we're not living in poverty here. Like, we're living in a nice Airbnb that has Wi-Fi and a refrigerator, but we definitely, you know, we're surrounded by neighborhoods and areas where people don't, you know, live like that. And we travel through, you know, lots of pretty poor areas, and you know, for us to see that and experience that day in and day out, it's there's no doubt it won't change you.
I wanted to get sort of a quick hit best piece of advice on a couple different things since you've been doing this for a little while now. I know one of the things you teach is how to get paid to travel without a big following on Instagram. So what is the answer to that? What is your best piece of advice for that?
So yeah, I have a membership program that teaches people kind of how to do what we do. Not necessarily that they don't have to do it full time, but someone that's like, hey, I really want to travel more. Maybe they have a travel blog, maybe they don't, but they really want to be able to have those kind of experiences with their family. And so, yeah, one of the things that I do is I coach people how to do that. And the secret behind not necessarily, because a lot of people think, oh, I've got to have this massive following, you know, on social media, or I need to have a huge readership on my blog. And while those things help, of course, it's not everything. So what I teach people is how to leverage their strengths, you know, whether it's content creation, whether it's writing, whether it's maybe web designing even, or, you know, there's so many different skill sets that we can offer companies, and specifically even tourism companies, that can allow us these opportunities. So I essentially help people leverage their skill set and, you know, expand their skill set too, but leverage what they have, to be able to pitch and negotiate and form these partnerships with different companies, whether they're hotels, tourism boards, product brands, you know, tourism companies, whatever. It's been really fun, and I love to be able to help people kind of pursue a passion. You know, of course, travel is my biggest passion, and so if I can align that with other people and help them do something out of that and make it a job, whether it's a side hustle or a full-time gig, it's pretty fun.
Cool. How about for staying within budget? Of course, budget means different things to different people, but you know, when you're traveling with a family of four, it's not like you're traveling by yourself. You know, it's a lot easier to be on a budget then. So what is your best piece of advice for traveling with, like, you know, either as a couple or family or small group or something like that, keeping expenses down?
Yeah,
reasonable.
Definitely my biggest piece of advice is to slow travel if you can. It's just way more budget friendly than having to hop around and, you know, fly to different places. Even if you're just going somewhere for vacation, you know, stay in one spot, you know, find a good home base, I guess you could call it. And then, you know, do some side trips from that home base. It's so much cheaper to stay in one place and negotiate a better rate with like an Airbnb, for example. If we can stay at least a month in one place, we can get like at least 50% off of their nightly rate. So that is a huge savings for us, because instead of paying, you know, perhaps $1,500 a month on accommodations or more, if we were moving around a lot, we're spending $700-$800 a month to stay in a nice house with lots of space, maybe a yard, you know. It's just a lot cheaper. So slow travel for sure is one of my biggest tips. If you want to stretch your budget, you know, stay in one place. And, you know, I know that's hard when you only have 2 or 3 weeks off, maybe for a vacation, but I promise, like, if you choose wisely, there is so much that you can explore from one place. You know, diving deeper into a place is so much more gratifying to me than just hopping around and seeing the highlights, you know? I just feel like you come away with a more enriching experience and a more meaningful experience. Because you're able to slow down, you're able to meet the local people and actually, you know, really dive into the culture and just feel like you're immersed more, if that makes sense. So that's one of my biggest tips. My other tip is don't fly, you know, or, you know, cut down on the flying, you know, because for us, like, we travel a lot on buses and we get to really see a lot more of the countryside when we travel by bus or train. And we get to meet more people that way. But it's also way cheaper, you know, generally, and better for the environment. So,
yeah. Very cool.
Yeah.
I think slow travel is great. I mean, obviously there are so many advantages to it. And I'm sure that helps a lot with the working thing too. Like you mentioned, the struggles with the schedule and productivity and things like that. It's very cool what you guys are doing. Obviously, I'm a fan. That's no secret. You know, taking the leap to do it. And I wanted to have you on to just kind of share your story a bit. And, you know, for anybody listening that's wondering if that's something that they want to do, we get to hear Christina's experience. You want to just let everybody know where they can find you as a reminder. And if you have some parting words of wisdom on the nomad lifestyle, go for it.
Well, my parting words of wisdom, and this is going to sound like super cliche, but it really is like 1,000% true. It's like, if you dream of this lifestyle, absolutely anybody can make this happen. And if anything, the pandemic has shown us even more so this year that working remotely is possible. For, you know, so many folks that maybe didn't think that they could do that, you know, before. One of the things that I always want to inspire people is, like, if you dream of this lifestyle, even if you have a 9-to-5 job, you know, right now, like, you absolutely can make it happen. I mean, we did, and, you know, it was hard, of course, and it still has its challenges, but it really is something that anybody can do. So that's something that I really hope to, I don't want people to just think it's like, oh, this travel dream lifestyle that only certain folks can do. It's like, no, this is really, if you want it, really bad enough, you can make it happen. And so that's something that I really hope to inspire people to know. But yeah, in terms of where to find us, so on Instagram is where we mostly hang out. And we are Max_Explore, M-A-C-S. McAvoy is our last name. Max is kind of short for that. Max_Explore. That's where we hang out on Instagram. So we share all of our adventures and travels. And we also are on YouTube, but we're really bad at updating our YouTube. So
can't do it all, right? I mean, you're doing a lot. Yeah. Congrats once again on, first of all, you know, 10 years as a cancer survivor. Amazing. 20 years in marriage and now 2 years out on the road with your family. So you got a lot to be grateful for. And I certainly have been grateful to get a chance to speak with you today and to share this conversation with everybody listening. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I really enjoyed talking to you, and I hope your listeners enjoy this episode.
The same. Yeah. All right. Take care.
Thank you. Bye, Jason.
Bye-bye. There you have it. I want to thank Christina once again for stopping by, sharing her story, letting us know the reality of life out on the road with the family, living in South America. So cool. Always inspired by people that are out there just living their life, doing it different, staying true to that whole travel soul, right? You want to get out there, you want to travel, and finding a way to do it and getting out there and making it happen. Despite, as she mentioned, that idea of being out of your comfort zone every day, which is not easy and can be exhausting on many levels sometimes, but also making you feel alive, right? That's one of the bonuses, I'd say, of getting out of your comfort zone every day, is that feeling of, hey, I don't know what's going to happen here. Waking up, I'm not really sure where this day is going. And that can be scary, but also fun, right? So thank you for the lovely chat. You know, another thing that we talked about is this idea of setting goals, right? She talked about overestimating what you can get done specifically. And her example was learning Spanish. You know, they thought they could learn Spanish and be fluent in Spanish already. And this brought up one of my favorite quotes. I don't remember who said it, but it's something along the lines of, you overestimate what you can get done in a day and underestimate what you can get done in a year. And that's so true. And I think the times that I've spent overestimating what I could get done in a day were, by the end of the day, I'd say I'd felt pretty crappy in some ways. I was setting myself up for disappointment, right? I thought that I could get so much done. And then I looked back and I got two things done from my to-do list, right? And that's a bad feeling. So I think this is a bit of an art as well, is trying to figure out, you know, what can you actually get done in a day? And being realistic with that. I'm not saying to be lazier or not go for it. Or what's the word I'm looking for? The podcaster can't find the word he's looking for. I'm not saying to try to underachieve. That's not it either. Maybe it'll come to me. Anyway, I think you know what I'm saying. The idea is not to not set goals and go for things, but set them in a realistic way. It's not something you can do perfectly every time. But, you know, particularly relating to travel, I thought this was an interesting thing to bring up because, you know, you want to try to limit these times when you're kind of your own worst enemy, right? Setting yourself up for failure before you even get started. So just something I wanted to bring up that came out of this interview. And I liked how she let some of her life goals determine the destinations there. This idea of, okay, well, we want to learn Spanish. You know, we want to do this, that, and the other. And where are the places that we can go that can allow us to do that? And, you know, sometimes it's destination-driven travels or, you know, at least kicking off a trip. Hey, what do we want to see? What do we want to do? And other times it might be more driven by the things that you want to do, and destination happens to have those things to offer, which is a great way to whittle down which destinations you might want to visit. So, you know, all of these different ways to look at travel, and I'm endlessly fascinated by how people do this. So, yeah, that was just one thought I wanted to share on the downside of goals. You know, let's all try not to set ourselves up for failure by overestimating what we can get done in a day. But consistent action every day. If you're somebody who is trying to take your family out on the road, or you want to quit a job and save a bunch of money and go traveling, whatever, just consistent actions you take every day really add up. And that's where that second part of the quote comes in, that we underestimate what we can get done in a year. And by taking consistent action every day, it is amazing when you look back and you see how much you have gotten done if you're taking those actions. So give yourselves a pat on the back. I'm doing it right now. Just a few thoughts there. And one other thing, as we come out of this episode, I wanted to talk about this idea of the Instabond, we call it in our community, Location Indy, which is, you know, if you've ever been around a bunch of other travelers when you're out there on an adventure, or you know, you meet some other people that are, say, on a similar adventure alongside of you, or you walk into a hostel and you really connect with people immediately. We call that the Instabond because you kind of have this shared experience, right? You're these foreigners in a foreign land. I'm referring specifically to other travelers that you might come across, and you're both already pre-qualified in the sense that you know hey, if this person's, you know, staying in the hostel with me, in that example, this actually was true with my wife because we met in a hostel in Brazil. And I said, well, she's traveling through South America by herself. She's staying in a hostel, so she doesn't mind, you know, being in maybe a little bit more dirtier environment or you know, taking showers in a dirty bathroom and budget traveling and all that stuff. Already, I'm like, hey, this is, you know, she's cool. I already know she's cool. I haven't even talked to her yet. She's already won me over in some ways because she's cool with this. All right, if you're cool with being on an adventure like this, traveling by yourself through South America, not afraid to be out of your comfort zone, going back to that, must be salt of the earth kind of gal, and she is. So that was something that connected me with her immediately, even before I had spoken with her. And I find that a lot with other travelers, right? You just kind of have this shared experience. And this got me thinking about what's been going on in the world with the pandemic and everything like that, and trying to find those silver linings like everybody else as we hopefully are coming out of this soon, and just thinking about, hey, what good can we take from this experience? And one of those things I think might be this shared experience, right? Just like you meet other travelers and you have a shared experience, you know, hey, you're both in this city exploring or wherever you're at, and there's already this commonality and maybe some shared values. Now, in that sense, maybe as we speak globally, everybody's values are different. But now we do have this shared experience on a mass level with the pandemic, right? We've all kind of been through this thing together, and we know people that have been affected or been affected ourselves. And how can that not bring us closer together, right? It must bring us closer together in some ways. In the same way that you kind of walk into a hostel or maybe some kind of a walking tour, whatever you're doing out there on the road, and you feel like sort of these kindred spirits, like, hey, these people are travelers like me, right? Well, we've all been through this pandemic together. So, you know, even though we all have our differences, maybe on some level, having this shared experience brings us closer together on a mass scale. And that's what travel is really about too, right? I mean, we travel so we can connect more to different cultures, connect with people, and come together in a sort of an authentic way, have these real connections, right? So anyway, I don't know how that works, practically speaking, but I just like the idea of this shared experience bringing all of us closer together as human beings. And I just wanted to riff on that because I have a microphone. That's what I'm doing. So anyway, with that, I will let you go. By the way, get in touch anytime if you want to share something with the community or recommend a guest for the show or whatever the case is, recommend yourself as a guest, whatever. Jason@zerototravel.com is my email. And I also have a link in the show notes where you can leave me a voice message pretty easily. So feel free to do that. Okay, now I will leave you with a quote from, let's see, I'm going to reach into the quote drawer here. Let's see if I can pull something out. Here we go. Thich Nhat Hanh. In order to understand others, we must know them and be inside their skin. Then we can treat them with loving kindness. The source of love is our fully awakened mind. Beautiful words. Thank you so much. I'll leave you with those lovely words, and I will bid you farewell. Peace and love, my friend, and I will see you next time. Cheers.
This podcast has been brought to you by ZeroToTravel.com. Ideas and advice to make your travel dreams a reality.